1039 LI News Radio. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and listen live 24/7 at linewsradio.com.
Well, we continue our discussion regarding our schools. Lots of happening. Spoke with the superintendent of schools in Hampton Bays yesterday, Lars Clemenson, and we check in with our good friend, Dr. Michael Hines, running the show, of course, school superintendent over at Patrick Medford. Always a pleasure. I haven't spoken to him in a while. Hey, Doc Hines, how are you, sir?
I am doing well, Jay. How are you doing over there?
Great. I haven't spoke to you in a while. I know you've been busy. Are you getting an award? You get an award every other day. Are you getting some award today? I mean, what's going on with you?
I pay people to give me awards, so I try to make it every other week. Now, this, I'm being recognized by a Boy Scout troop where I'm working in Patchogue and Medford. That's not actually until May. They're having a dinner, and there's a planning session this morning. There's a breakfast this morning, so I'll be on my way there in a few minutes.
Everything you get, the recognition is all rightfully earned, I got to tell you.
Well, thank you, Jay. I really appreciate it. And I love the fact that you spoke to Lars yesterday from Hampton Bays. He's really doing a great job stewarding the Suffolk County Superintendents Association.
I tell you, that guy was very impressive, very articulate. And, listen, there's a lot going on. And, of course, you know, when it comes to school safety, I mean, everybody is in right now as far as how they want to go about things. I know Miller Place took an initiative in their four buildings. It's a way of life right now. Give me an idea as far as what exactly has been happening at Patch Med even before the Florida shooting, and maybe what you're thinking about going forward.
Sure. Schools are mandated to have district-wide plans in the state of New York, and actually, ironically enough, we just updated our district-wide plan in October, had it board approved in January, and on that plan, it's extremely comprehensive. We have two Suffolk County police officers from the 5th Precinct who are part of it. So our plan, again, was just updated. We have over 100 security officers in Patchogue Medford, and all of them are either off-duty and or retired police officers. And they are in all 11 of our buildings. At one point, in the high school, we have 17. Certainly at our middle and elementary schools, we always have one present. We have roving security moving throughout the district throughout the day. So we have a lot of systems in place already that we're very proud of. But in light of what happened or has been happening, I mean, certainly not just in Florida, this one instance, there have been several, unfortunately, mass shootings in schools since January. So clearly we are looking at either augmenting or certainly shifting some of the things we're looking to do in the near future. We just had a board meeting on Monday, and our security safety committee is going to be meeting within the next week or so to talk about some potential changes. I think there's short-term things that we have to consider, certainly, and then the longitudinal things are things that we would have to budget and make sure we have the proper funds in place. And Jay, if you don't mind me saying, what I would love to see, and I don't know if we'll ever see this in the state of New York, after Columbine in Colorado, one of the things that happened that the governor did, from what I understand, by the following year, they mandated, that means the state made the decision to have law enforcement in every single school. And the way that they funded this was the state would pay for, or I believe the police department paid for half, and I'm sure there was some state and possibly federal funding for that. And then the school district took the other half of the officer who was in the building. Because my concern moving forward from a Long Island perspective is when you start pitting school districts against school districts, who has this, who doesn't have that, it sets communities up against each other, and that's something we don't want to see.
Good point. Excellent point. We're talking with Dr. Michael Hines, the school superintendent over at Patchogue. Now, you mentioned you have 100 officers, you have 100 security right now, correct? Now, are they all carrying weapons there, Doc?
No. Right now, we don't have any security officers carrying weapons. Again, that's something, as a Board of Education, myself and certainly the community, these are things that we will have to discuss, certainly moving forward. I actually think, you know, am I surprised that things are moving in this direction? No, I think we saw some of the proverbial writing on the wall over the past year or two. It's my biggest fear is, and I think for any superintendent, certainly for any parent, I mean, myself being a parent, is the question is every single school or school district doing all they can to ensure that their children are safe? And in many cases, I don't know if schools can, I don't know if there isn't a silver bullet for that. And that's the hardest thing to grapple with, because you can have all these plans in place. I am sure the security and the school in Florida had systems in place. Certainly we saw where some of those breakdowns were, clearly. But there were armed guards there. There were armed guards in Columbine. There were, you know, so is that the answer? I don't know. I think that's going to be a community question. But like I said before, Jay, I would love if the governor or somebody would actually take the listen. I believe in local control. In this instance, I would love the state government to say this is what we would like to see in every single school. And in that case, that's something I would clearly welcome.
The problem is, though, and we're going to have Senator Michael Gianaris on with us in a few minutes. And the problem, Dr. Hines, is, you know, and I said this before the break, you know, I saw what Dick's Sporting Goods did yesterday in banning the assault rifles. I saw what Walmart did as far as raising the age. You know, these are all situations because our politicians can't get it done. They can't get it done fast enough. And then, of course, you know, you have the NRA who has their own rules that nobody wants to go near. So, in essence, you know, you have your retailers kind of getting it done, and they know, and I said this before, you can't beat them, join them. You know, they basically joining other retailers in making these decisions because our politicians just can't figure it out of how to, and the back and forth, and we're going to talk about this in about a half an hour, but that's a whole nother story. But in essence, this is something that the schools have to think about. And, you know, down in Florida, that was just, I mean, everything that could go did go wrong, including the security there. But, you know, I said this a couple of weeks ago, and I said, you know, to me, if my kids were still in school, I certainly would feel a heck of a lot better if I knew that someone within the confines of the building was carrying a weapon. Now, it could be an air marshal type individual where you don't know who he is or she. You know, it's like when you go on an airplane, you don't know. But I would feel, at least from a psychological point of view, an area of protection for my kids, knowing that somebody is there to protect them if something were to happen.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's a great point. And I think there are lots of people who agree with what you're saying in multiple communities. This is going to be a really hard decision, I think, for boards of education because clearly what we will see, Jay, is more parents getting together, more community members getting together, stating they would like to see X, Y, or Z in a particular school or school district. And these are things that boards of education and superintendents are going to have to grapple with unless, you know, we wait for the state government to do something, which most of us don't wait for because we want to control what we can't control. So I think that's to be determined or yet to be determined as far as what's going to happen. Listen, clearly, Center Moriches and Miller Place and I believe Mount Sinai, these are school districts in their communities where they feel comfortable moving in that direction, or at least the leadership in those particular school districts. And I certainly respect that. Clearly, I'm not here to judge what other people are doing. What we need to do in my school district right now is to really take a fine-tooth comb and look at what we have and look at what we can augment and certainly change in the immediate future and then longitudinally. And will that embrace having armed guards at this point? I think it's really to be determined. I think a lot of things need to happen before that decision is made.
You're listening to Dr. Michael Hines. He presides over the Patchogue Medford School District. You know, one of the things I spoke with Lars Clemenson, Dr. Hines, was maybe metal detectors. And listen, I understand the long lines and everything else it will bring. We know that. But again, it's another area in which parents can feel that, you know what, it's going to help the cause a little bit. I certainly would be up for metal detectors. I have no problem with that. What about you? Is that something that has entered your mindset? Is that something you could certainly implement as far as technology is concerned there?
Yeah, I think there are lots of things we can do, whether it's having metal detectors or having, I believe Comac mentioned in Newsday yesterday that they're implementing doorknobs that lock from the inside. I think there are a lot of preventative measures that certainly, I would say we don't have, or maybe other school districts don't have, that they can apply. I know some school districts are looking to have security, like auditors, come in to look at their systems to see what they have or what they don't have, actually, and what they can implement. I think at this point, our school district and probably most school districts are going to be open to multiple suggestions. And I can tell you right now, Jay, metal detectors will certainly be a conversation that will be had. Will it take place? Again, it's too early for me to say because I don't want to speak on behalf of my Board of Education, who I work very closely with. But we have to exhaust every single option. And I know we have community members who are looking to make sure their kids are safe. And that, to me, is first and foremost because kids can't learn anything within a school or teachers can't teach unless they feel safe within their school.
We're talking with Dr. Michael Hines, superintendent of schools over at Patchogue Medford. What about drills? Do you guys implement any type of drills, Dr. Hines? You know, just to kind of give kids an idea. I mean, listen, we're not immune to the news, and kids shouldn't be either. I'm sure parents have conversations and everything else. What about the drills in a situation of this nature? And also, when you have these types of incidents, do you automatically implement counseling, especially for some of the younger kids who kind of sense what has gone on in our society and could kind of ease their mindsets a little bit more? What about those two things?
Sure. Great points, Jay. First, of course, we implement drills, and we don't tell anybody when those drills are taking place. We do it with our director of security and our assistant superintendent for business and operations. She oversees all of that, and we don't tell anyone when these things happen. And when we have these drills, we look to see where we can make, you know, clearly where we can change things. We have times where we want to make sure that, you know, the time limit as far as once the drill takes place to once it ends, we want to make sure it's clean and we learn from those things as much as we can. Those have been very helpful, and clearly we're going to be doing that more often to make sure everyone knows what they should be doing. As far as counseling is concerned, you know, this is the thing that I don't think is being swept under the rug, but should be spoken about just as much, if not more, than should there be armed guards in schools. We have lots of children who are hurting all the way from kindergarten to, as you can see, kids who are just about to exit the school system as juniors and seniors. These are the things that need to be properly funded. We need more social workers, more psychologists, more counselors within the schools to deal with students who clearly are struggling mentally. And we have a lot of them. We have a generation of children, Jay, who are more anxious, depressed, and suicidal than any generation before. And for some reason, we are going about our business, for the most part, the same way. And clearly that model is not working. And what we're seeing is, you know, these manifestations of soon-to-be adults who leave our system who are really, really struggling, and in some cases, lashing out and acting out. So there are things that we can be reactive to, and there are things that we have to be proactive with, and I would love to see school districts and, of course, our government supporting and funding those more proactive approaches because that is what's going to, I think, assist everyone in the long term.
Just hit it on the head. You really just hit it on the head because counselors are needed even more so these days. You're right. The pressures these kids are facing and everything else, all the flags regarding the shooter down in Florida, I mean, you know, and they got tips. That's the FBI got tips. police officers got tips. The sheriff's office got tips. And, you know, the thing is, these kids are under such pressures, and they have to be recognized. You're 100% right. You have to have the right personnel on board to talk with every student just to kind of get an idea of what that mindset is. I think it's more important than ever because, you know, we could talk about the background checks regarding firearms, and that has to be improved, especially when it comes to mental impairment. But you're right. Inside these educational institutions, there has to be the right personnel on board to really kind of, you know, go over every student as far as his capacity is concerned, how he's handling life, the pressures. Maybe there's stuff at home happening. Maybe there's a sibling problem going on. You don't know what can trigger these incidents, and you have to have the right people on hand.
You do, Jay, and the problem is with a lot, you know, counselors. Well, first of all, we were fortunate in Patchogue, Medford. Over the past 4 years, we've added, I think, 8 staff members from a social worker psychologist perspective. So in many ways, I don't think we're ahead of the curve because I still think we need more. But at least you're reducing the ratio where a caseload for a social worker may be 300 to 1 down to 150 to 1, which is still way too high. Even guidance counselors, Jay, many of the guidance counselors, they're not guiding because their caseloads are 300, 400 students. And it's very hard to establish relationships and have meaningful conversations with kids if you're in and out like a drive-by fast food market. How you doing? You doing okay? Okay, great. See you later. That's not going to cut it anymore. And that's why we need to really arm our schools, and I say that tongue-in-cheek in the sense of having more mental health professionals there. That needs to be a non-negotiable. It needs to be a must, and it needs to be in the forefront. And I'm hoping it takes place. And I appreciate the fact that you can see that. For some reason or another, a lot of people think that's squishy. They don't think, you know, there's no metric applied to it. We can't measure it. And so, therefore, we can't support it or we can't fund it. And that conversation needs to go in a totally different direction.
Completely. Because, you know, think about the students in a district. How many students do you have in your district now?
We have around 8,000.
8,000 students. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. 8,000 students. How many counselors on hand? Not enough, obviously. I mean, think about per student, per counselor involved over at Patch Med. It's just ridiculous. You know, there's not enough. And that's why it's so vital to monitor these kids, to see what kind of mind frame that they're in, and really to make note of it, because, you know, the old edict, see something, say something. You know, it's become prevalent even more so today, that you have to take notice.
It's really true. And then, you know, the other thing, Jay, is once you have the information, it's what do you do with it? You know, and clearly, and again, I don't want to be a Monday morning quarterback when it comes to what happened in Florida or anywhere else, but I can say you need systems in place where if there are red flags, it's not only identifying the student who may be struggling, it's what are the preventative measures that you're going to move forward with the family to ensure that they get what they need and deserve. And that's where it's broken in New York State too, because, you know, there are waiting lists to get into certain facilities that are months long. That's ridiculous. So if we identify a child and they need to possibly go somewhere to receive treatment that's pretty intensive, you know, sometimes the waiting list, Jay, is like 3, 4, 5 months. Well, I'm like, well, that's not going to cut it. This kid doesn't have 3, 4, or 5 months to wait until they get the proper support. So there needs to be real conversations with people who can make a difference, and that's where the politicians come in, I'm hoping, to ensure that we have those opportunities once we have these children identified.
Well, listen, we're going to talk to one of them in a couple of minutes in Senator Gianaris, and we'll talk about just that. So much on the plate. We're going to have to get you next time. I want to talk to you about Common Core, all the dollars that Albany has put forth as far as education is concerned. I know there's some issues there, but I want to get you on soon, and we'll see if we can knock those two categories out.
That would be great, Jay. I really appreciate it. And thanks for all that you do, and it's great talking to you again.
And listen, next time you get another award, can you at least give me a heads up so I could put it in my headlines, please, as far as the newscast?
Yeah, I'll let you and John Hildebrand know. Thanks.